We're doing a newsmaker interview today with State Senator John Erpenbach. He's a Democrat from Wanakee. He was elected to the Senate in 98, reelected in 2002, 2006, up for election next year to the Senate, but also not doing anything to say you're off the list as a possible candidate for governor. Why don't you put it in the affirmative, John? What are you?
What am I? Right now, I represent one of the best parts of the state in the state Senate, in the 27th Senate District. And I am seriously taking a look at running for governor. I think it's kind of hard not to in this situation with an open seat, which is probably the most exciting thing for people who really follow this stuff, because there hasn't been an open seat for governor in quite a long time in this state. So I think on both sides of the aisle, and maybe even a third-party candidate, this offers all sorts of opportunity.
Well, why don't you make some history and be the first candidate to declare you're going to run on Wisconsin I?
Absolutely not. No, I'm not going to do that today, Stephen. Here's why.
Okay.
Because I think to the governor, to his credit, if you have maybe thought about doing this in the past or whatever, to his credit, he's given everybody enough time to really think this through. And I really do appreciate that, among some other things that he's done. But you know, Barb Lawton and Tom Barrett and Ron Kind and I, and I'm sure others are really seriously thinking this through. But the thing is, we don't have to decide tomorrow. We don't have to decide next week. There's at least a couple of weeks, if not maybe a month, before you start to see things shake out as they may be.
John, I want to thank you for doing the show, because I'm titling the show The Calculus of a Candidate.
Yep.
And I'm really interested. Now, you've been around Capital Democratic politics for 20 years, been a state senator since you took office in January 1999. You have had a chance to really think about the factors that somebody needs to consider, and that's why you're doing this carefully.
Right.
A run for governor plays out on so many different angles. So I want to talk to you about different parts of your process of making this decision. First, talk to me about the money.
Oh, it's
how much have you got in your campaign fund?
Like $20,000.
$20,000.
Yeah, and I think when all is said and done, I don't know what a primary might take. It would be maybe $1.5 million, maybe $2 million. And in a general election, you know, I think the candidates are looking at somewhere between, you know, four to eight, somewhere there. So when all is said and done, I mean, you may be up around $10 million. You may be, and you can't, Steve. Honestly, you cannot look at that number. You have to look at it. As I've kind of been considering this, is I can't look at the end result. I can't look at that. I need to look at, okay, what is the next phone number I need to call? And you just have to keep your head down if you're going to do this. And it's going to be, you know, 6 to 8 hours a day on the phones trying to raise money.
Dialing for dollars.
Yes. And then it's going to be another 6 to 8 hours a day on top of that in meetings asking for money, but also at the same time getting out and meeting voters, talking about where you stand on the issues and so on. But yeah, it takes a tremendous amount of money. And until we have campaign finance reform.
Which you have been a champion
constantly.
So is there no irony here in you admitting if you get into this,
it's going
to
take
6 to 8 hours
money
on the phone plus additional meetings. Give me some money. I want to run for governor.
Well,
people say, why should I support you, Senator Erpenbach?
Right. And I don't think it's ironic as much as it is that's the way it is right now, until we do get comprehensive campaign finance reform through. I mean, we just passed a bill out of committee earlier this week dealing with impartial justice. And to me, that's really pretty much a no-brainer. And that was like pulling teeth. So on the issue of campaign finance reform, we've been plodding along for a long, long time. We have not made any major changes since the mid-70s on campaign finance reform. So the dollar limits we're looking at in order to qualify for public funding, which really isn't a lot of money to begin with, aren't realistic at all. So in the meantime, you have to do what is out there. And what is out there right now is to sit down, raise the amount of money you need. TV is very expensive. Mail is very expensive. Phoning is very, it's expensive to run a campaign. And these aren't just like, you know, campaigns run out of somebody's living room anymore. These are very high tech, staff driven type of campaigns where the candidate goes out, raises the money, gets out, meets the people. That's what a candidate
does.
Sorry,
but I'm going to come back to the term ironic. It seems to me that someone who has said the current campaign finance system is broken, I want to change it,
right,
I want to reform it, has now got to play by that broken system if you decide to do it spending umpty-two hours,
right,
umpty-two days, umpty-two months raising money.
Well, it's going to cost money to run a campaign no matter what you think. No matter what you're running for, it costs money to run a campaign. If you're running for county board, it might cost you a couple of $1,000s. If you're running for city council, it might cost you a couple $100. Who knows?
Running for governor might cost you up to...
It could have cost...
Can you say 10 million?
To 10 million. Yeah, it could cost up to that.
Could you raise 10 million, John?
I don't know. I do know, though, if I ended up doing this, I wouldn't be outworked. And I do know if I end up doing this, if I have to sit down and make phone calls like that, that's what you need to do. In the meantime, until the major changes are made, And they have to be done in a bipartisan effort, because that's the only way to get buy-in from both sides. That's why Mike Ellis and I have been working on this together for a long, long time. But in the meantime, if you do want to make that change, and I haven't been able to make it from the state Senate, you may be able to make it from the governor's office, but you can't make it as a state senator. You know what I mean? So what you do is you keep an eye on the fact that, okay, if you do win, what are the things you want to change? What are the things you want to work on? And obviously campaign finance reform would be one of them. Nobody should have to sit down and do that in order to run for governor. But again, given what's going on in the world today of campaigns, the cost of television is enormous. The cost of advertising in any form is enormous. Mailings are expensive. Phone banks are expensive. It's expensive.
Doesn't that money come with strings?
I can see in certain situations where it would, where some people would think, well, obviously there's strings attached to that money. But I don't think, and at least it's been my experience as a state senator and out raising money for my campaign, that people wouldn't give me money unless they agreed with me on the issue. There's never been a situation where somebody said, okay, here's $100, what do you think about this issue? It's always been, where do you stand on this or where do you stand on that? And if we agree, we agree. If we don't, we don't. But it's never been a situation where, I'll give you an example. I'm a Democrat. Democrats typically side with WEAC and the teachers. Always have been, always will. My mom was a teacher for 105 years, a long time, like 29 years out in
Wanakee. She's probably watching, John. She's going to present that number.
And she's awesome, just so you know. But anyways.
She loaned you that nice convertible a few weeks ago. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, for the parade. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, for the parade.
So in the end, though, I mean, I've always supported trying to get more money into the classroom, because the most important thing we can do as a state together is to educate our kids. That's the most important thing we can do. So I've always backed that. WEAC wouldn't give me money unless I backed them. But you have to back them first. It's not even a chicken and egg thing, really, in my mind. It's here's where I stand on the issue. If you support me, great. I need help with some money. If you don't support me, you know, let's see if we can work on something else. But I don't view it as money coming with strings attached, because I don't think the money comes unless people know where you stand.
Okay, you're considering running for governor. Why would you like to be governor?
Oh, there's all sorts of things I think we need to do in this state. And you and I have had this discussion before knocking around the Capitol. There's some big changes we have to talk about. And we've been avoiding it for a while. We need to talk about how we tax. We need to talk about how we spend. And it's not one of these, okay, let's just patch this together for the time being, and let's just try and do this, or let's make this change slowly over time. We need to really take a serious look at especially how we tax, because how we tax isn't fair in this state. There are less people paying more in taxes now because of tax breaks that have been handed out. And some of the tax breaks have been good, but there's never been a cut in spending to pay for. So as a result, we get nickel and dimed up a little bit higher.
But we've just had the biggest change in the tax code in about 26 years with the budget fix-up bill and the budget. With the higher bracket, cutting the cap gains, and the higher taxes on businesses.
Right.
Aren't those,
improvements? We need to take a look at the bigger picture on this. There are items exempt from the sales tax, for example, that maybe should be taxed. There are items that are taxed that maybe shouldn't. And I'll give you a couple of different examples. We pay a sales tax on clothing. It's a necessity, you know. By law, you have to wear clothes, essentially, except in certain parts of this state. But for the most part, you have to wear clothes.
The Mesa Beach, and there'd probably be more viewers if we took.
Yeah, well, no, actually, it'd be computers
fewer.
Flicking off all over the place.
Yes.
We should not pay a sales tax on necessities. We shouldn't have to pay a tax on any necessity. We just simply shouldn't. At the same time, you have items that are exempt, and the one that's always thrown out there is dog grooming. But there's other things that are exempt from the sales tax that maybe shouldn't be. We have schools on the property tax now, and they've been on the property tax forever. And the reason why they were on the property tax, because that was the fairest way to do it when we were first starting out. Maybe it's not the best way to go about it anymore, because you have seniors on fixed incomes living in houses they've lived in for 40 years, and their property tax bill is higher than their mortgage ever was. But rather than the legislature and a governor, you know, sitting down and saying, okay, let's try and not make this political, even though I know it's probably going to happen, but at the very least we have to have a serious discussion about
this. So you're willing to ask these huge questions?
Yeah.
About our current tax structure and major reforms.
Right, absolutely. Okay. I mean, you know, everybody talks about we need to take schools off the property tax. You know, that's a big campaign theme you're going to be hearing. We need to do this or we need to do that. But once you get into office, and the latest exception actually has been President Obama, and I'll tell you why in a minute, those things kind of tend to get pushed to the back burner. The governor becomes more of a manager. Governor Doyle did not have the luxury that Governor Thompson had. Governor Thompson had a tremendous amount of money coming into this state because times were good. Governor Doyle, on the other hand, didn't. He had a tremendous amount of money not coming in because times were not good. And it wasn't anything he did. It was what he took over, and then you threw on what was going on nationally. That finally hit Wisconsin, and we were financially in a tremendous amount of trouble. He wasn't in a position to do the kind of visionary things perhaps a Governor Thompson was able to do, whether you agree or disagree with the visionary things that he did. Doesn't prevent us from sitting down and saying, look, things are going to get better. We all know that. And yet we're down now, but they're on their way up and things are going to get better. When they are better, what are we going to do? What are we going to do to try and make sure that it stays better and gets even better after that? And nothing is going to change, Steve. Nothing is going to change until we sit down and have these serious discussions about the fact that, okay, why are we paying a tax on this? Why aren't we paying a tax on this? Why do my property taxes have to pay for schools? Why is the state spending money over here on a contract where it might make a lot more sense to hire the state employee that we just cut to do the job because they do a good job and it's cheaper to have the state employee?
This just did. News made here. Campaign finance reform champion willing to consider raising up to $10 million. But I have other questions.
Well, you have to raise up to $10
million. Okay.
Unless you want to write me a check just right now and we'll just get it all over with. I have to sit down and make the phone calls.
It would bounce higher than many times. Second point, John. If you're seriously considering a campaign for governor, you have to have a campaign team.
Yes.
How many people and what roles do they need to play?
I'm not certain how many people, but I know the first person that I would have to hire if I were to do this would be the best fundraiser I can get my hands on. I think that's the most important position to have. And then, because a fundraiser sits with you while you make the phone calls, because I don't know of any politician, anybody, who likes to sit and dial for dollars. I don't know anybody who does. If they really, truly like it, I think something's wrong. If they really, truly enjoy it. Seriously, because there's this whole world out there. So you need somebody who's going to keep you on task and somebody who's going to say, look, you need to do this. If you want to do this, if you want to get to the issues you want to work on, these are steps you have to take. So I think a fundraiser and the best fundraiser I could get my hands on if I were to do this is the most important thing I could do right now. On top of that, you need a campaign manager. There's all sorts of mid-level staffers who are doing all sorts of things. You have coordinators to deal with regions and counties throughout the state. I mean, there's a whole apparatus that's put together, but I don't think it starts unless you have a good fundraiser.
Okay. What about some regional considerations? You come from Dane County.
Yes.
The Dane County vote in the 2002 Democratic primary was only 13% of the total turnout. Mm-hmm. You're well known in Dane County and in your Senate district. Obviously, you've been elected three times. Do you have a base to run for governor?
I don't know. Yeah, I guess I would, coming out of Dane County. And if Tom gets in, he's got a base coming out of Milwaukee.
Tom Barrett.
Yeah, if Mayor Barrett gets in, he's got a base coming out of Milwaukee.
Well, just on that note, 24% of the votes in the 2002 primary came from the county of Milwaukee.
Yep.
Go ahead, don't mean to interrupt.
You have Congressman Ron Kind, he'd have a base coming out of La Crosse. You can say anybody starts with a base. The question is, how wide is the base? How deep is the base, which is more important? A lot of people say, well, yeah, you know, that person has a lot of support, but it might be, you know, an inch thick, and that's it. The idea, what primary voters especially are going to be looking for, I think they'll be taking a look at voting records and where people, the candidates, stand on the issues, how they square up against one another. I think what primary people are not looking for are negative, dirty attacks, negative campaigns. And I think, if I remember right, in the last campaign when you had County Executive Kathleen Falk running, Mayor Barrett running, Governor Doyle running.
He was
running.
Then a congressman.
Yep, excuse me, I got a cold.
Attorney General Doyle.
Yeah, they pledged that they would not run a negative campaign, and guess what? They didn't. It was a really clean, on the issues, let's get a good team together, let's hit the ground running, and see who can win type of campaign. And I was really impressed with all three of them. But as far as the base is concerned, I think people around the state will, who's this Erpenbach guy? Was he Middleton, Wanakee, Madison? Where's he from? You know, that kind of stuff. But when they hear about Healthy Wisconsin, when they hear about things like the no-call list, when they hear about progressive tax policy, when they take a look at my voting record on all sorts of things, they'll start to attach, okay, this guy, you know, did this and this and this. And that kind of expands your base if people support what you were trying to do. I've been around the state three or four times on health care and health insurance reform, at least in the last couple of years. And when I talk about all over the state, I'm all over the state, including Rosendale, which, by the way...
Did you get a ticket?
No, I didn't, okay. Because I'm very aware of Rosendale and how they do up there.
They're $180, my brother tells me. I don't want to go into
your brother
details.
Tells you. It was your brother?
Who
was driving?
My
Who's
brother
driving?
Was
okay.
Was driving.
Yeah, okay.
But how did we get off on such a tangent? Anyway, What about we're on regional considerations?
Right.
If Dane County Executive Kathleen Falk runs, mm-hmm. let me go back to 2002. She got 50% of the Dane County vote.
Right.
And I would assume. Don't you have a big problem? Ms. Falk runs.
I don't know. Maybe. Maybe.
Do you think she'll run?
I don't know.
Do you want her to not run so it would help you?
No. What I'm taking a look at right now is I'm taking a look at the fact that okay, this is what the commitment is. This is what this race means, not only to the people in Wisconsin, but obviously the White House is keeping a very close eye on this as well. But what does the race mean? What kind of issues would you want to work on if you won? What kind of issues do you want to talk about during the campaign? But most importantly, what kind of impact does it have on your family? Those are the things I'm looking at. Yeah, I'm keeping an eye on who may be getting in and who may not be getting in, but that really in the end isn't going to sway into whatever decision I end up making. What it comes down to is, what's the most important thing as far as the issues go, but more importantly than that, what does your family think? Because if your family's not in, obviously it's not going to happen. And I've also been surrounding myself with people who are very good friends of mine who've been knocking around this game for a long time, who are not afraid to look me in the eye and say, John, look, no, not right now. This isn't going to work. You've done a good job in the state Senate. You need to stay there. That kind of stuff. So I'm listening to those people as well. In the end, it's obviously really flattering. This is the last place I thought I would be sitting talking to you about a governor's race.
Were you surprised at the governor's decision?
Excuse me. Yes. Yeah, I was.
You learned about it when?
Saturday, about an hour or two before it officially was out there.
Did you just get a call out of protocol from somebody on the gov's team?
Yeah, just got a call.
Just want you to know this is...
Yeah, just got a call. And
you were surprised?
Very surprised. Because I was with him, I don't know, 3-4 weeks ago. We spent some time together and if you know Jim Doyle, I mean, and you watch Jim Doyle, first of all, you know that he's probably one of the hardest working guys you've ever met. He's the hardest working guy I've met outside of my dad. He works extremely hard. He's out raising money. He's doing everything right or as best as he could running the state and getting ready for what could be a pretty nasty campaign. So there was no indication. If you would have told me 2 months ago, you know, he may not, then I'm thinking, you know, maybe you're right. But after spending time with him like I did, he was doing exactly what an incumbent governor should be doing and what a candidate for re-election should be doing. So, yeah, I was a little surprised. But I've known him, you know, most of my life. And when he got up to talk last Monday about how he is not running again and here's why, when he says that he and his wife, Jessica, talked about 2 terms if he were fortunate enough to win, I believe him. I really do. He could have run for another term if he asked, but I think they had an agreement. 2 terms is probably enough.
Now, so. One other issue, one other consideration, whether you run for governor, is issues, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you're the sponsor of the wildly popular Do Not Call.
Yes.
Does that get you elected governor?
You know, I hope so, but no, it doesn't. It's right. One issue, but what it shows is it shows that this is an issue that was very wildly popular, bipartisan, strong bipartisan issue. It shows that I tend to think that while Erpenbach might have a little bit of common sense in him after all, I mean, it's a real common sense thing. So it shows that I'm willing to just really sit back, take a look at, okay, this is something we don't have, and based on what I'm hearing from doing listening sessions around my district, this is something people want to have. So it's just a real kind of common sense thing.
You're also part of the compromise smoking ban.
Yes, that was interesting.
You've put a few big deals together, but you haven't served on joint finance.
No.
You don't have any budget experience.
No.
We have a huge deficit.
Right.
Isn't that a downside issue for you?
No, I don't think so. And I actually turned down the opportunity to serve on finance because I chair the health committee. And to me, the health insurance reform and making sure that people get a primary care physician at the very least, to me, is probably one of the more important issues that we will deal with in the state. And when the change is made, I would like to be part of that. The obvious issue that we need to deal with in this state is economy and jobs. That's the economy and jobs. And I think health care and the cost of health care is tied into that, and health insurance is tied into that in a little bit. But no, not being on finance isn't a drawback simply because I still know the budget process, have still followed the budget process, and you have to pretty much know what's in the budget because you're voting on it. So I think any elected official, whether they're sitting on finance or not, it might give them a leg up on the real insider stuff. But, you know, you still have to follow the budget process and you still have to know how it works.
John, 2 years ago, you spearheaded and led the effort for Healthy Wisconsin.
Yes.
A universal health care plan.
Yes.
Right now,
universal health insurance.
Universal health insurance
plan. Because
there's
two differences.
Okay.
There's a big difference between the two of them.
But right now, voters are meeting with congressmen and criticizing the idea of a government-run health plan.
Right.
Don't you see your unabashed and continued endorsement of Healthy Wisconsin as a potential campaign negative?
No. And really simple. Everybody in this state, every single person in this state knows someone or has been denied by a health insurance company. Their claim has been denied for no particular reason. Everybody knows that. Everybody is very frustrated with their insurance. It's kind of like if you take it, remember the old union thing that people don't like the union, but they like their teacher or they like their police officer. It's the same thing. People don't like insurance, but they love their doctor when they get a chance to get in and see them. So everybody has a story in this state when it comes to health insurance. And that gets wrapped up with health care. Because when you talk about care and we're going to have health care reform and people go, oh my God, we don't want this Canadian system. And oh my God, I don't want the government making my decisions. That is the furthest thing from the truth.
Third party groups are going to tee off on you with that.
That's fine.
And you know that.
That's fine.
What about the idea of third party groups? Third party groups, when you ran for the Senate, wasn't that 98, outspent both you and
yes.
your opponent?
Yeah.
You said, I lost control of the campaign.
Yep.
Isn't that another scenario if you run for governor?
I have a piece of legislation sitting in the Senate Judiciary Committee right now as we speak. We've had a hearing on it, but we haven't had a vote on it, that basically says to the third party groups, if you're going to play in the elections, that's fine. You got to live by the same rules as everybody else.
Register
does.
And disclose the sources of
exactly.
income.
But if it is a true issue ad where they say find out where the candidates stand on the environment, that's fine. But if they say, John Erpenbach is a really good guy, we really like him, call him and tell him that you like him, or call him and tell him he's a bad guy, the phony issue ads, then they would have to report.
The only announced
excuse me.
That's okay. The only announced Democratic candidate so far is Lieutenant Governor Barb Lawton. Where do you differ from the Lieutenant Governor on issues?
I don't know where we differ on issues, because I'm not real certain where she stands on issues. She hasn't had to take a vote or anything yet, but I'll find out. I mean, I would assume we differ on some issues. I would assume we agree on other issues, but I don't know. I haven't seen a platform.
How do your odds go up or down if it's Lawton and Barrett and Kind and you?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I Tom Barrett brings a lot of money. Immediately, huge name recognition. He's run statewide before. Ron Kind is a congressman, which is a pretty big deal. Kathleen Falk has run before. She's a county executive. All names are pretty well known amongst Democrats. So I don't know how I fear. I don't know what happens to my odds. I don't know who's getting it.
What are the major decisions that you have to make over the next few weeks, or is it months?
I would tend to think that there's some time yet. There's at least a couple of weeks, if not a month, for all of us to really take a look at it. And I wouldn't be surprised to see a couple more names float in and out or get in. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. What it's going to take is to continue doing exactly what I'm doing right now and talking with a lot of people, sitting down face to face with them and saying, this is what I want to do. What do you think? I also have to figure out financially if it's viable, if I can raise the money. And you can kind of gauge that a little bit with a couple of phone calls. I also have to get out there and talk with all of the groups who tend to lean on the Democrat side and say, you know, look, if I end up doing this, I would really love your support and really appreciate your support if you could help me with this. If all of those indicators are there and the family's there, then I don't know why I wouldn't. But you know, who knows? I'm 48, so I'm kind of young. Although I'm kind of getting up there, you can get a little gray. There's time to really thoroughly think this through.
So it doesn't matter how many other Democrats are in this race to you. That's not going to be a factor in your decision.
No.
Nope. If you run for governor, you give up the state senate
yes.
seat you've held.
Yep.
If you lose January of 2011, you're looking for work.
Yeah.
What are you afraid of that?
Do you guys hiring?
Nope.
No, I'm not. I'm simply not. I've always felt that this, you know, politics is a situation where it shouldn't be a career. It shouldn't be. This is your whole life. If the opportunity comes to run for something else, and you want to do it, then you should take it. If you have to give up your seat, you have to give up your seat. That being said, I thoroughly love the state Senate. I love working with who's elected there right now on both sides of the aisle. I've been pretty successful in getting some legislation through, some, I think, pretty substantial legislation through. personally, the hardest thing would if I were to do this was to, would be able to would be saying bye to those guys. I mean, I really thoroughly enjoy the Senate. At the same time, it's also nice to know that if I choose not to do this, not to run for governor, I've got a great district that I'm up for re-election in. I'm, you know, campaign hard and work hard in that district, and hopefully get back sent back to the state Senate. There's a lot at play here, but it's not one of these things where I've been sitting in the Senate just waiting, okay, now's my chance. Because working in the state Senate is quite the honor, and there's wonderful people there.
Do you have a deadline for you to make a decision on running for governor?
No.
You do not?
No.
But I can't. It's got to be before January 1, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, I can't be hanging out here and, you know, October, November, and December saying, well, I'm still thinking about it, because that would look kind of goofy, wouldn't it? So it would certainly show that I'm not taking this seriously. I am taking a real close look at it, and I, you know, as soon as I come to a decision, everybody's going to know.
Real quickly, what do you expect the fall session to achieve? What are you going to be working on?
Well, hopefully some changes to the health insurance plan that we're taking a look at. And just real briefly getting back to that real quick, because it may come back up again.
Yeah.
All we're asking to do with Healthy Wisconsin is essentially let everybody into what every other state employee has and what every elected official has. And that's, they have nothing but choices, just so you know. And if those people who are running down Healthy Wisconsin or something along those lines who happen to be in elected position, they shouldn't take the health care, because if it's that bad, I don't know why they're taking it, but apparently they are. So I would expect healthcare to come up, but the number one issue we really need to hammer away at is the economy and jobs. And I really, truly hope we don't view Governor Doyle as this lame duck governor, and we're not going to listen to him, we're not going to take his advice and not work with him. He's got a year and a half, and there are some things I know he wants to get done, and we need to be adults and listen to what he wants to do. If we agree, great, let's move along. If we don't agree, let's see what we can come up with. But whatever we do has to benefit the economy as best as we can, and whatever we do has to not only create jobs, but more importantly, hang on to what we have right now. I mean, we need to hang on to what we have, and we haven't been doing a good job of that. So the economy and jobs will be things that we'll be working on, I think, pretty hard this fall.
Okay, so you're going to decide in a matter of weeks, right?
Yeah, a few weeks or so.
Last chance to make history and announce right now to Wisconsin I.
No, I can't do that because I don't know.
Okay.
Which is why, you know, taking the time to think about it.
Seriously considering
it? Oh, yeah.
Very seriously.
Absolutely. Yep.
John Erpenbach, thanks very much.
All right, thanks, Steve.
Our guest today has been State Senator John Erpenbach, who is seriously considering a run for governor in the wake of Governor Jim Doyle's decision to not seek a third term. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, man.